Now, I come to the 80th psalm that follows this, and it's another prophetic psalm. And you have here a continuation of thought in all of these psalms through this section here. A prophetic development, by the way, and the Septuagint has in it the inscription, the Assyrian. And because of that, why, there have been those that have attempted to place this psalm at another time. But we're told very definite here, it's a psalm of Asaph. And it's a chief musician upon Shoshanim Iduth. And we've had that before us, before, and that means lilies, and I think that is very important for us to see. It's a lily psalm, so it's going to mention the Messiah. It's going to mention the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, chapter 80, verse 1 begins like this, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel." Now, this is a beautiful thing here. And the shepherd of Israel, he is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have that mention of the sheep and the shepherd before. Remember in connection with Joseph, when old Jacob was giving his dying blessing to his 12 sons, he gave the most important blessing, I guess, at that time to Joseph. And it says he led Joseph like a flock. And that refers to the wilderness when the tribes advanced toward the land, the promise to take possession. And it was under the leadership of Jehovah, the shepherd of Israel. But who was the leader? Well, it was Joshua at that time, and he was an Ephraimite, you see. And he was the one chosen to lead them into the land. He acted under the captain of the hosts of the Lord. Now, this is a very wonderful psalm. Let me read. "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou who leadest Joseph like a flock, thou who dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth." And this is an appeal to God who had met with these people in the Holy of Holies. Now he says, "Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us." Now, why would Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh be mentioned? Well, I think that the reason for it, you'd have to go back to Numbers, the second chapter, verses 17 through 24, and I'll not go back there, but if you go back and read it, you'll find out that in placing the tribes around the tabernacle, that these tribes here, Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, they were put immediately behind the ark in the march, in the order of the march. These three tribes were together on one side, and then they immediately followed behind the ark. The ark led them through the wilderness. Now, just as God had led these three tribes who led out, now the call again comes, "Stir up your strength, lead us again, O God, lead us again." And notice what he says here, "Restore us, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." Now, that is quoted here three times in this psalm. It's a sort of a chorus. "Restore us, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." Now, will you notice here, there is this little bit of an elegy that's put in here. It's the sad part of the psalm. Just three verses, but listen to it. "O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people?" And he's angry against it because of the fact he's not answering them. Verse 5, "Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and givest them tears to drink in good measure." Now that is one of the most remarkable verses that you have in the Word of God. He says that he gave to these people tears to drink, tears for their bread. That's all they had to eat were tears. And these are tears of suffering. No nation has suffered as these people have and survived. Most other nations that have been treated as they've been treated on several occasions would have been exterminated, and disappeared from the face of the earth. Now, this nation here has been drinking tears down through the centuries. Why? Well, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, because the shepherd of Israel has heard them. Not only has he heard them, he has been rejected. And we read in Luke 19, and when he was come near, he beheld the city, and he wept over it. The Lord Jesus, you'll recall, came to Jerusalem the last time. Now, he didn't weep for himself at that time. Remember when the daughters of Jerusalem were weeping, he said, "Weep not for me. You weep for yourself. You are the one that you should weep for," because he said, "Don't weep for me." Now, will you notice, I'll read now Luke 19, beginning with verse 42, saying, "If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they're hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, compass thee around, keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, thy children with thee. They shall not leave thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." That is a tremendous passage of Scripture, and that's the reason they've had that to drink. Now again, here is this cry, verse 7 of Psalm 80, "Restore us, O God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." Now again, what is the face to shine? Well, that face to shine is none other than the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he says here, and this is another remarkable verse, verse 8, "Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the nations and planted it. God brought them and put them in the land." Now, their temple is to be destroyed. They're going out of the land. Why? For the same reason these nations were put out. Why? Because they turned their back upon God, and the responsibility of Israel was greater, because they had privileges that no other nation had had. They had the visible presence of God. Now he says here, "Thou preparest room before it. Thou didst cause it to take deep root and fill the land." That's the vine. God says, "I'm putting it out of the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it. The boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars." And now the question arises, "Why hast thou then broken down the hedges, so that all they who pass by the way do pluck her?" God for years put a hedge around that land. And it's quite interesting. Those people were in that land for, I suppose, a good 500 years. And they were never touched. God never permitted any of the great nations of that day to destroy them. Egypt came against them, got victories, but never destroyed them. The same was true of Assyria, the Hittite nation. But there came a day when God put down the hedge and let them come in. Why? They'd rejected the shepherd of Israel. What a beautiful picture this is of him. Now he says here in verse 17, "Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand." And that's the place of power. And who's at God's right hand? It is their Messiah. "Sit thou on my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool." That's a remarkable picture that we have here. You remember that when Rachel was dying along the roadside that leads into Bethlehem, she wasn't even able to make it to a stable back of an inn. And you remember Benjamin was born, but she didn't call him that. When she looked upon that little fella that she'd just given birth to and she's dying, she says, "Call him Benoni's, the son of my suffering." And old Jacob looked at him, and I think he had the eyes of his lovely Rachel, and he said, "We're going to call him Benjamin. He's the what? The son of my right hand." That's the Lord Jesus. He's the son of suffering. He came the first time. But he's today on God's right hand. Sit thou on my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool. And he's coming someday from there to this earth. Now will you notice, verse 18, so will not we go back from thee, revive us. We'll call upon thy name. And then here's the chorus for the third time. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts, cause thy face to shine upon us. This is a wonderful, wonderful song.